Church, go ahead and grab your Bible, your phone, or whatever you have that has words on it, and we prepare to read our passage this morning, and we'll be in 1 John chapter 5, and we're just going to read the first four verses of 1 John chapter 5, and as soon as I find 1 John chapter 5, we'll be there. I don't know why I didn't mark this ahead of time. Okay, starting with verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So John doesn't waste any time here at all. He starts by saying that anyone who believes Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And he says, if you love the Father, then you're going to love his kids too. That's just how families work. And he goes on to say, we know we're loving God's people when we actually love God and do what he says. Not just talk about it, not just admire it, but do it. Because loving God looks like keeping his commandments. And this is the part we forget. Those commandments are not burdensome. Like some heavy backpack we're forced to carry through life. They're not burdensome, but rather they're life-giving. And then John lands the plane with this. He says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Not might, not could, not on a good day, but overcomes. And the victory that gets us there is our faith. Amen? So John is reminding believers here that faith's not something we just carry around in our minds. Faith is something that transforms our lives. And a person marked by faith loves God, loves others, and follows God's ways, and walks with confidence because victory belongs to those who trust in Christ. Amen. Faith isn't pretending the storm is not there. Faith is knowing that the storm does not get the final word. You know, the world's always been interested in identification. We put labels on everything. Cars have VIN numbers. Cattle have brands. Phones have passwords. Packages have tracking numbers. Even your leftovers may have a date writ on them if you're smart, because apparently somebody needs to know whether that casserole is still food or if it has officially become a science project. I know, because I ate some leftovers last night until Kisha told me they're 2 weeks old. So, guys eat anything when they're hungry. But everything has a mark on it, and it tells us where it belongs. And Apostle John reminds believers that faith leaves a mark on us. It's not a tattoo. It's not a bumper sticker. It's not a church attendance record, by all means. It's a real relationship, a real relationship with Jesus that leaves evidence. Because faith, what it does, it changes the way we love. Faith changes the way we live, and faith even changes the way we face our battles. Because when God marks your heart, the world notices something. It notices something different about you and about me. Back in August of 2023, a massive wildfire tore through Lahaina, Hawaii. And many of you remember watching it on TV. The news covered it tremendously. Homes were gone. Streets were unrecognizable. People were running with nothing but the clothes on their backs. But in the middle of all that devastation, a school cafeteria manager named Keone broke into his own workplace. He fired up the kitchen and he started cooking hundreds of meals each day for survivors. He used whatever he could find, rice or canned goods or leftover frozen chicken. There were no cameras. There were no applause. Just a man with a spatula and a sense of duty. That's the thing about memory. We tend to remember the fire. We tend to remember the loss and the smoke that hung in the air like a bad dream. But faith remembers the guy that lit the stove in the middle of a disaster and fed a whole town. You see, being marked by faith means we stop staring at what burned down in front of us, no matter how crazy life gets, and we start noticing who carried us through those ashes. It means letting God help you. And it means not letting the hurt get the headline of your story. So my first point I want to bring to you is faith identifies who you belong to. John begins with a powerful statement in verse 1. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's the starting point. Faith begins with belonging. So before you do anything for God, you must understand that God has already done something for you and me. You're not trying to earn your way into His family, but through Jesus Christ, you and I are invited into it. You think about a family farm. You can walk around the land, admire the animals that's there, enjoy the beautiful scenery and the ponds, but the brand that's on the cattle on that land tells you who owns them. And faith is the spiritual brand on you and me that says, I belong to God. And unlike a brand that's burned into skin, God marks His on our heart. He places it on our heart. And the world may mark your mistakes and my mistakes. People may remember you by your failures. And your past may try its best to define you. But God marks you by grace. You know, when we were at the conference this weekend, I found a fascinating ministry that they'd started up. One of the places in Missouri. Or Kansas, rather. It was called Unchained. And Unchained, like we sang before, it's a tattoo removal ministry where they have people who have turned their life over for Christ, and they may have ink on their skin that kind of reminded them of their former life, which, you know, that doesn't hinder you at all from coming to Christ. But the enemy, the devil, uses it as a reminder every day, every time you look at that mark on your skin. And so this is a beautiful ministry, I thought, where they removed the ink that reminded or marked someone about their previous life or lifestyle. What a beautiful outreach ministry. So before we go any further, let's understand something about faith. Faith isn't just a decorative item that we place on a shelf like a trophy that nobody dusts. Faith's more like a good pair of work boots, because you don't buy work boots just to admire them, let them sit in the closet. You put them on because life has some rough ground, some muddy places, and some jobs that require something more than just wearing flip-flops. And John tells us that real faith leaves footprints. So the first point is faith identifies who you belong to. The second one is faith produces love. Verse 1 also tells us everyone who loves the Father loves his children as well. John connects a loving God to loving people. Because you see, when faith marks your heart, something changes. It changes the way you see things. It changes the way you see everyone around you. Because you begin to understand that people are not interruptions. They're opportunities. You begin to understand the person who needs encouragement. You begin to understand the neighbor who needs kindness. You begin to understand the family member who needs patience, or even the stranger who needs compassion. Faith opens our eyes to see people the way God sees them. Now, let's be honest. I mean, loving people sounds easy until people start acting like people. Amen? But that's where the work begins. You know, I told some of you, maybe on Wednesday night, can't remember, about a lady I used to work with years back when I was at OU Health. Her name was Charlene Franklin. And Charlene, well, she was one of those people who you don't meet as much as you survive. She was full of life, loud, a laugh almost as loud as my wife Kish's, which is saying something. She wore blue eyeshadow like it was part of her uniform, and red lipstick that could stop traffic, and a personality that made sure you never forget you'd crossed her path. Every morning she'd wander in my office under the noble banner of refilling her coffee, which is really code for, "Eric, sit still while I update you about my entire life." She'd plop down, she'd take a sip, and launch into the latest chapter of her love life, usually involving the new boyfriend, who, according to her, was very affectionate, and especially now that he'd moved into her house. And then she would pivot to how her family couldn't stand the guy because they concluded that he was just trying to take advantage of her, which caused fights and rifts between her and her family, and sisters and brothers and other relatives. But whenever she said her family would fight, Charlene would just shrug, flash that red lipstick grin, and say something like, "Well, honey, at least somebody wants me." And honestly, who doesn't want to be loved? Well, so she would sit there and talk, and I'd sit there at my desk, clicking away on whatever graphic design project I was trying to finish, making sure that I was nodding at the right moments while she rambled on. But one day, same routine, same coffee, same boyfriend saga, God nudged me hard. And he said, "Stop, listen, and give her your attention." So I sighed, the only sigh that really God only hears, turned my chair toward her, and actually listened. Really listen. And right in the middle of her usual family drama, she said something that kind of stuck like a burr in a work sock. Not wisdom, not poetry. Just this: "Life is too short to fuss and fight." That's it. Didn't seem like much at the time. Charlene was being Charlene, telling me how her family continues to fight with her about her new relationship. But then 3 months later, her health took a nosedive. She landed in the hospital. And I remember passing her in the hallway as they were rolling her into surgery, because I had something to do in the hospital that day, hanging up a poster or whatever it may be. But as I passed her, rolling her on the gurney, she grabbed my hand and said, panicking, "Eric, I'm going to die. Please pray for me." Now, knowing Charlene, queen of the dramatic entrance and exit, I figured she was just overreacting. Well, so I prayed with her, and they wheeled her in, and that was that. Except it wasn't. Later that day, her words came true. She was gone. And suddenly that little line that she tossed out one random morning hit me like a summertime mosquito that you can't swat away. "Life is too short to fuss and fight." I wrote that on the inside of my Bible. and made sure I would never forget. And I haven't. It's one of those markers that adds to my faith. And, you know, it's easy to love somebody who agrees with you. It's easy to love somebody that smiles at you, and it's certainly easy to love somebody who returns your casserole dish. But Jesus calls you and me to love beyond convenience. Pastor Adam did a message 2 or 3 weeks ago called Pardon the Interruption. And so life's not always convenient in the life of a believer, no matter how dedicated or committed you are. Love beyond convenience. If you don't get anything else today, remember that. Because real faith is revealed when love becomes a choice instead of just a feeling. There was an old farmer who had a fence around his property. The fence wasn't there because he hated what was outside of the fence. The fence was there because he valued what was inside the fence. The fence marked the boundary. The fence showed ownership. The fence communicated care. And our faith works that very same way. God places a mark on you and me, and that mark shows through the way we treat others. And so the question is not only, do I believe in God? The question is, can people see God through me? So faith identifies who you belong to. Faith produces love. And number three, faith does not see God's commandments as burdensome. Verse 3 says his commandments isn't burdensome. Now, some people hear the word commandments and immediately they picture rules and restrictions and someone telling them what they can't do. But God's commands are not chains. They're guardrails. And a guardrail on a mountain road isn't there to just ruin your drive. It's there because somebody cares enough to keep you from going over the edge. I can't tell you how excited I was when the last time I went to Falls Creek, they'd finally put guardrails along that long, tall mountain you have to drive up to, instead of some old barbed wire fence held up by tree limbs as fence posts back in the 50s. And so those guardrails protect us, and God's wisdom protects us. God's direction guides us. God's commands help us who He created you and me to be. I mean, think about a GPS. Nobody gets mad when the GPS says turn left. Well, maybe some do, especially when it says recalculating for the fifth time, because you ignored every instruction it showed you and ended up behind a grocery store next to a dumpster. But the GPS isn't trying to control you. It's trying to get you where you need to go. And God's word that He gave you and me does the very same thing. It doesn't exist to make our life miserable for you and me. It exists to lead us home. So faith identifies who you belong to. Faith produces love. And faith doesn't see God's commandments as burdensome. And then we see the last point. Faith overcomes the world. Verse 4 gives us the heart of that passage. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. John doesn't say believers will never face trouble. He doesn't say Christians will never struggle. He doesn't promise a life without storms. He promises victory through faith. There's a difference between being knocked down and being defeated. There's a difference between facing a battle and losing the war. Most of you already know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three guys who wound up on the wrong side of King Nebuchadnezzar and were about to be tossed into a furnace hot enough to melt the hinges off the door. Now think about this. If these three fellas are marked by their faith, then why didn't they just assume God would swoop in and save the day? Why not slap a name it and claim it sticker on the situation and call it good? Well, because that kind of thinking mixes up faith and belief. And those two, they're not the same thing. Faith and belief are not the same thing. Belief says that God is able. God is good. And surely I'm His favorite, so He's going to get me out of this mess. I believe. That's belief. Belief is easy. It's comfortable. It's the spiritual equivalent of sitting in a recliner and hoping the house cleans itself. Ain't going to happen. But faith, real faith, doesn't work like that. Faith says God is faithful even if He doesn't do what I want Him to do. And so faith trusts God's character more than it trusts my preferred outcome of the situation I'm facing. Wholehearted faith doesn't sit there and stomp its foot and demand things from God. It leans in. It listens. And it trusts. And yet, still, a lot of believers show up with a list of demands, asking for God's power, but insisting on their plan to fix the situation. Asking for God's providence, but yet, same time, pushing their purpose. And those three Hebrew boys, they didn't do that. They trusted God's purpose. And what happened? The furnace got cranked up 7 times higher. The guards tied them up like a delivery package and tossed them straight into the blaze. And then, against every expectation, they walk out with so much as the smell of smoke on their clothes. The only thing that's burned on them are the ropes that had their hands tied. Why? Because they weren't in that fire alone. The Son of God stepped in with them. And so faith reminds us that God hasn't finished the story yet. He's still writing the last chapter, and He's very, very good at surprise endings. Because there's 3 marks of a faith-filled life. The first one is faith gives you confidence. And when the world shakes you, faith gives you something steady that you can hold on to in your life. That's why believers go through hell sometimes. And people thought, well, I thought you were a believer. You go to church and all that. Why are you going through this? Because faith gives us something to hold on to. Your confidence, it's not based on the circumstances you're going through. Your confidence is based on the character of God. Second mark of a faith-filled life is faith gives you endurance. Faith doesn't always remove that mountain before you. Sometimes faith gives you stronger legs to climb it. God doesn't always calm that storm immediately that you're facing, but He will strengthen the sailor sailing that thing. And then the third mark of a faith-filled life is faith gives you victory. Victory doesn't mean our problems will disappear. Victory means that your problems doesn't own you. I mean, the world's going to bring us fear, disappointment, and uncertainty. Jesus even told us that it would. But our faith reminds us that Jesus is greater than anything we can face. There was a man that found an old watch that belonged to his grandfather, and the watch was scratched and worn and seen its better days. But when he opened the back of the watch, he found his name of his grandfather engraved on the inside of it. So you see, the scratches didn't change the ownership on the watch. Age didn't change its value by any means, and the wearer didn't erase his name. In church, sometimes life's going to leave scratches on you and me. As I look out above many of you here this morning, we carry scars. We carry memories of difficult seasons. And we've been through things that has even changed us, our faith, our character. But when God marks your heart, your struggles, they can't erase your identity with Him. Because you still belong to Him and always will. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road, and anybody who's ever changed a tire knows that's where the real work happens. Faith isn't proven in the easy moments. Faith is revealed when life gets heavy and you still choose to trust in God. And so today the question is simple. What mark does your life carry? Does the world see fear in you? Does the world see worry in you? Does the world see anger? Or does the world see defeat? Or does the world see someone who's marked by faith? Someone who loves because Christ died for you. Someone who stands because Christ strengthens us inside. And someone who overcomes because that believer knows that Christ has already won the victory. I mean, you and I may not have everything figured out. And we still may have battles ahead. I'm almost certain of that. Some of you are fixing to walk through the belly of the beast. But if Jesus marks your heart, you don't walk through it alone. Years ago, there was a story shared about a lighthouse that had stood along a dangerous coastline for generations. It faced storms and hurricanes and powerful waves that shook the foundation beneath it even. And over time, the outside of that lighthouse showed the evidence of storms. The paint had worn away and the walls carried marks of storm throwing stuff up against the lighthouse from years of wind and harsh weather. But every night when darkness covered the water, that light still continued to shine. And ships, they didn't care about how the lighthouse looked. They didn't care about how many storms that lighthouse had survived. They only wanted to know one thing. Is that light still on? In church, that's the picture of faith. How you and I are marked by faith. And life may leave some marks on us, and we may walk through some storms that can change us. We may carry scars from battles no one even knows about. But when God's marked you and me by faith, that light still shines. I see many of you out here that still shine in spite of the weather, the years. I mean, our church mothers, they're certainly no spring chickens, but they're still serving God more than many of you who are young like spring chickens. They may hobble, they may limp, their bones may creak when they get out of their chair, but that light still shines. Enough to let you know that the rocks are near in your path. Stay away. Travel another path. And they shine their light. Because the purpose of a lighthouse is not to prove that it's never seen a storm. The purpose of a lighthouse is to shine because it's seen many storms and still shines. And so as our worship team comes up to the stage, this is where we move from talking about the equipment to now we check under the hood. Because faith isn't just something we just discuss on Sunday morning. Faith is something that we live with on Monday morning when the alarm clock rings, when the bills arrive in the mail, and when life starts making noise again. And the question today is not simply, do you know about Jesus? The question is your life marked by Jesus? Maybe today you came in carrying something heavy. Maybe you've been trying to fight battles in your own strength. Maybe you've allowed fear or disappointment or past mistakes to become the biggest label on your life to mark you. But you see, God offers a different mark. He offers forgiveness. He offers restoration. He offers a brand new identity. Thank you, Jesus. Through Him, our Son of God, Jesus Christ. You know, the world's going to put labels on people. But God writes promises on hearts. And the world remembers our failures, and it's good at reminding us of them. But yet our loving God reminds us of our faithfulness that we have in Him through our love for other people and our obedience to Him. God's obedience commands aren't hard. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and might, and love one another as you would like to be loved. And so the world looks at where you have been, but God looks at where He is leading you and me. And so if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, today can be that day that your life receives a new mark. A mark of grace, a mark of forgiveness, and a mark of belonging. And if you are a believer, but yet you feel worn down, then today is a reminder that God has not forgotten you. The same God who started a work in you is still working in you. So today, come today and allow God to strengthen your faith, to renew your heart, and to remind you that the victory belongs to Him. Let's pray as our prayer counselors come forward. Father, we thank You for the gift of faith. We thank You for the identity. Our identity isn't found in our mistakes, our struggles, or our circumstances, but our identity is found in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us be the people who are marked by faith, and let our love show Your love. Help us be the people we need to be. Father, let Your words bring encouragement. Let our lives point toward people who lead You and You put in our path towards You. And when the storm comes, remind us that we always belong to You, and You will never leave us nor forsake us. When we feel weak, remind us that Your strength is greater than our weakness. And when the world tries to define us, remind us that we're already marked by our faith and by Your grace. And Father, as Your word reminds us in Psalm 16:11, You make known our pathways of life. And in Your presence is all fullness of joy. And in Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for the faith that You give us in You. We trust You. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said, amen.